Good morning, everybody. It's really great to be here. My name's Ruth Moragas, and I was here yesterday with our team, a part of Happy Heads, which is about promoting good mental health, and that's come out of an experience of me living that for myself. And today I'm going to talk to you about my favourite thing, which is dreams and purposes. But first of all, when we were singing Fan Into Flames and Consuming Fire, I had a picture of everybody and God lighting them all up. But it wasn't that fire where you're burning, you know, you're in the middle, and it was just these happy, happy flames. And then I saw matches in my hand and matchbox in the other. And God was saying, you know, he's inviting us to come alongside and he wants to spark you anew. But it's your decision if you want that. He will give you more if you ask for more, but be prepared for what he gives you. So I've been talking about purpose and dreams. We have to start with identity. The root is for identity, because you know, you need to know who you are. You need to understand, your destiny, you need to understand what Christ is in you. And you need to know who God is. You need to believe and receive the power of God in your life. Otherwise, you will limit your expectations. When I was a few of us from our team were at school at Eastgate, and the teachings are similar to Bethel, where we learn on the supernatural. And one of our teachers would tell us that we were powerful people. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I can say that out loud. You know, what does that sound like in the outside world? Because, you know, we want to be confident in who we are, but we don't want to sound arrogant. But actually, we are powerful people, not because we're powerful by ourselves, but because of the Holy Spirit living in us. And we really mustn't underestimate what he can do in us. One of my favorite verses is when Jesus is talking about, you know, you will do greater things than I, because I'm going to be with the Father. That's quite a massive thing to say. Greater things than I. What, greater than walking on water? Greater than healing everybody that you know, who you come, you know, because Jesus healed everybody who wanted to be healed. You know, greater than any miracle. And we miss that. Greater things than I. So if we're going to do these greater things, then we need to understand, firstly, who we are. Now, we are created by him. In Genesis 1:27, it says, we are created in his image. You know, God had the vision of the world before it came to plan. He created us in his mind first. Therefore, we are creative people. I was talking a little bit about that yesterday, about how some people think they're not creative, and not to pigeonhole what that looks like. You know, creativity is very, very vast. But we are creative people. And we have that imagination. We have the imagination like God, and the visions to do things. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, is that just my imagination? But God gave you your imagination. So, you know, he wants to give you visions. He wants to give you purpose for your life. And he wants to talk to you creatively about what you're going to do. Often we can just see what's right in front of us in an earthly way, just straight ahead, and we're not looking for where God is going to take us. We are loved. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all good things God works for all good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, he loves us. He created us, and he loves us. He wants to give us favor, and he will make a way when the way seems impossible, because he is a God of the impossible. One of our teachers at school, he would say, when people said that he was unrealistic, he liked that, because he was like, yeah, I am, because I'm not looking in your statistics, realistic, earthly, worldly way. I'm looking about what God can do. We were designed for God's pleasure, and that can be difficult to comprehend, because you think, oh, we're always messing up, and we're always moaning about something. There's always something going wrong. How can we be, you know, of pleasure. But when you have children and you see, you know, I have nephews and I absolutely adore them, and they don't have to do anything for me. They don't, they just have to be. They are part of it. And now we are children of God, and he enjoys being with us every day, every moment of the day. He loves to be with us. He sees past our struggles, and he sees what he will do in us. And often we get caught up in that struggle, but we've got to be looking forward. And he thinks of us as a masterpiece. Again, people are like, but you know, I'm not a masterpiece. I've got this and this wrong with me. But we are a new creation. We are a new creation in God. We are not our old selves. We are not flesh. That is not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on our spirit. And Ephesians 2:10 is when he speaks about us being a masterpiece. And I, you know, he gave me a picture, Holy Spirit gave me a picture of a painting, and it was vibrant, and it was, you know, real fine detail. And he hung it up and showed me that's how he sees us, that he's so proud of what he's created. He's not looking at your mistakes and what you think of a failure. He is looking at you as a masterpiece. And that's a powerful word, a masterpiece. We are intimately connected with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But who is united with the Lord is one in him in spirit. We are together, and not to be disjointed from that. We are living from our spirit. And it's a permanent, forever relationship. Everything that we do comes out of relationship of being with Jesus. It's not one day I'm going to be with Jesus and tomorrow I'm not. He wants to be with us, and is, because he lives in us, he's with us all the time. And sometimes we ignore the fact that he's there and we go off and do our own thing. And God's like, yeah, but I'm here. Let me be part of you. Let me be part of what you're doing. He's invested in you. And again, you know, when you have children or grandchildren or nephews and nieces, you invest in them. You want to spend time with them. You want to be with them. And you want to help them grow. And he chose us. He chose us. And one of our purposes is to go out and speak of the good news. And that is for everybody to do. You know, you don't have to be necessarily evangelist to go out and speak the good news. And it doesn't have to be necessarily on the streets. It can be in your workplace with friends. But he wants to be heard. He wants you to talk about him in the way that, you know, because you can do it lots of different ways. You don't have to just speak about it. You know, I paint and dance, and that's like an expression of Jesus in me. And people can understand God in different ways. It doesn't have to be just one way. And are dreams selfish? Now, some people say that, you know, is it selfish to want things for myself? No, it isn't. You know, we can ask God whatever we like. It doesn't mean we're going to get it, but we can still ask him because we are his children. And I think when we see of ourselves as a hierarchy, that God is there and we are here and we can't ask him anything. And I'll use my mum as an example. I remember I was praying about the weather or saying, God, I really need this dress and can you sort that out for me? And she looked at me, because she's brought up Catholic, and she said, you can't ask him that. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, he's got a lot on his plate. And I said, no, you've got a lot on your plate. That's how you would perceive it. Oh, I've got to help her with getting a dress and la la. I said, God, he's constantly joy. He's a happy God. And you know, limiting how much he's involved in our lives. Can I only ask for the big prayers? All of our prayers, he doesn't look, there's not a scale of where the prayers are. It's that intimate relationship. You know, a child will say to their mum and dad, especially at Christmas and birthdays, they don't think about the cost, do they? They just say, I'd like this and this and this and this and this. And they're not being greedy. They just believe there's a limitless resource for, you know, especially when they're told that there's Santa, and, you know, because he's got loads of money. And It's like, how close are we to God that we can ask those things? And like I said before, it doesn't mean we get everything that we ask for, but you shouldn't be afraid to ask. Because God wants to fulfill things for us as well as us doing things for him. And God is there in every moment. Matthew 18:3. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to be childlike. That's not the same as childish. Very different. But actually, as my character has matured, I've become more childlike. Because he wants us to be free. You know, little children, they dance and they sing and they create and they dress up as princesses one minute and then a superhero the next. And you ask them what they want to be and they say, I'm going to be this. And then an adult might think, well, they're not bright enough really. You know, if they want to be a doctor, that's not going to happen. And they start putting judgments, you know, on them. And we do that to ourselves as well. I am not equipped to do this. But God equips you. And if those children want those dreams, God has put those dreams in them. And as we grow older, they can get knocked out. Do you believe in seeing things as God sees them? Or in, you know, how the flesh, how the enemy will trap you? With Happy Heads is part of, you know, promoting great mental health. And I've got lots of diagnosis, you know, bipolar, personality disorder, it just goes on and on and on and on. You know, and the enemy will say, you know, you're divorced. But even though that was many years ago, he still brings it up. You know, you're technically unemployed, you know, in the world, but, you know, I'm employed by God. And mental health. And, you know, if I start thinking like that, I get dragged down. I get dragged down to the world and I start feeling, where are these promises? You cannot listen to that. That is the enemy speaking to you. And he will just talk any nonsense. He will try any kind of way. But once he's tried one way and he doesn't get anywhere, he's like, oh, I can't do that anymore. I'll just leave it alone. And it's that power to say, I am a powerful person and I believe what God has for my life. I may not see it right this moment, but I believe for it. And, you know, the enemy, he only has the power that you let him allow into your life. Because really, I remember when I first became a Christian, I was terrified. Satan, what can he do? You know, because he's so evil and everything. And as I, you know, matured as a Christian, I realized he's a little ant like that. He's a tiny little thing. And we make him into this big thing. God is bigger than anything that he's done. And he always wins. You know, we are winners. Therefore, we are winners too. Full of the promises of God. Now, I like to think of things as looking at things, you know, like rose-tinted glasses. I have my rainbow-tinted glasses. I'm obsessed with rainbows, have been since I was a little girl. And that's how I see things. And it keeps me in a place of peace and joy. You know, I'm looking at myself as heaven looks at me. And, you know, that means I'm prophetic and a leader and visionary. And that is something that I've learned, you know, in the last couple of years at Eastgate School. It's now spiritual school, but it was supernatural. That to see ourselves as God sees us and not as how anyone has said we are. It has to be how God sees you, because people can change their mind. One minute they like you, one minute they don't, and then where are you? You know, you need to be, what does God think for my life? Often when we're looking at dreams and things, we think, right, okay, that's for the future, but it's not for now. We're looking for waiting to be perfect. Well, we're never going to be perfect. But God is perfect and he lives in us. So, you know, it's about he likes to develop us and he is nurturing us. It's like planting seeds. We had like an exercise in art yesterday of seed planting where you took some soil and you planted a seed, and it was a prophetic act of, I believe, because that seed's literally going to grow. And then people put words in, and what do you want to grow in your life? You know, and they put in, I want to grow my dreams. I want to grow strength. I want to grow forgiveness. You know, and it's about him developing us. So we see ourselves as these seeds, but God sees us as this mighty tree and what we're going to do for him. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. His words are really powerful. And you know what? We're doing Jesus an injustice if we don't believe what he's done for us, what he's taken for us. He's taken our sins. That means he's taken our shame and condemnation. He's taken all those things away. And sometimes that can be a real block to what our dreams and purposes are, because we are stuck in what, in our failure or our belief of failure. Now, God, you know, he didn't choose people that were the obvious choice. And, you know, Jesus chose fishermen. He didn't go to the Pharisees. He wasn't looking for scholars. He was looking for hearts. He was looking for people that would be, you know, just for him, that would do anything for him, that would follow him, that would believe in what he was saying. And, you know, he chose to be with those 12 people. Now, he was God. He could have just been, you know, him and God. But he wanted relationship. He wanted to have that company. He wanted that. And God wants to be in our company. And Jesus wants to be with us. And, you know, he did. It was a testament to him of the glory of what he did. You know, Peter, you know, his classic mistake when we talk about how he denied Jesus 3 times. And sometimes we get, I remember when I was younger thinking, well, I would never do that, you know, what was he doing? But what we don't talk about is that actually when Jesus died and the Holy Spirit came in the disciples, Peter set up the first churches. He was the instigator, the founder of that. And so we can get stuck in our mistakes, or we can look at what does God do with us eventually? What do we go on to do? And, you know, if Peter had just been so ashamed and come away from his faith, he would have missed out on what God wanted him to do. And Jeremiah 29:11, and I love this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He wants a future for us. These are not light words. These are really impacting words. And sometimes we can just read them and not really say, okay, but that is that for me then? Is God saying that for me? And he's saying it for you. He doesn't say these things that he doesn't mean. And it's whether we believe him or not. And we're predestined. He's got an individual life map for us, like a day-to-day itinerary. And I remember I trained as a hairdresser years ago and a masseuse later on. And I did level 3 counselling. And I went in recovery times, I would study. And it was all very disjointed. And I just thought, how is any of what I've learned in the past going to come round to all make sense now? But you know what? I use every single one of those in Happy Heads. And because God knows, sometimes we think, why are we doing this? Where's that going to lead to? Just enjoy where God has got you right now. And you can see that vision there. But often, you know, I see the vision. I go, I'm going over there. And God says, yeah, but there's 10 steps before you get there. No, but I'm going over there. But actually, if we're not prepared, it's going to be difficult to do what God has asked us to do. We have to go, you know, step by step with him. And what does the Bible say about purpose and dreams? Joseph is one of my favourite characters. Probably unwise for telling his brothers. Now, he sounded arrogant because, you know, the vision that he had, and they were, who does he think he is? But he knew what he was seeing was real. He knew that God had given him that. Now, he had the right attitude. He was put in prison, and he could have been completely, you know, well, that's it then. My life is over. You know, basically, I'm a slave. But he'd never compromised what he believed. He didn't have to. And people came around and respected him. People of a, you know, a different faith. And he wasn't afraid to be honest. You know, they asked him what he saw, and he told them. And it wasn't always good news, you know. And he was... but then people trusted. When it came true, they realized, wow. But if he hadn't spoken it out, if he'd been too afraid to speak it out, how would it have been tested? And then there's Noah. And he built that boat. And can you imagine? I mean, this boat is... my maths is terrible. But I remember when I read about the measurements, this was like an epic craft project. That he was basically, you know, he had his sons to help him, but he didn't have a lot of help. And people must have thought, he was crazy. What's he doing? What's he building that for? Where's that going to go? And he could have thought, he could have believed those people and thought, oh, you know, what am I doing? This sounds nuts. But he was completely convicted, and he was listening to God. Often our vision is so big, it seems totally impossible. You know, King David, he was that boy, wasn't he, that killed Goliath. And we think, how did he do that? But he was trained, because as a shepherd, he'd killed, you know, animals. He was trained. He didn't just jump there, but he offered, you know. No one wanted to do it, and he's like, I'll do it. He was a very young man, but... he stepped forward into that first step. And then from that, you know, he became the king. He became King David. And he wrote the Psalms. And, you know, those Psalms are so beautiful, and they're so creative, and they're so wonderful. And they encourage us even today. So what, you know, what are our words now? What's our poetry? What the things that God gives us now, what can we give that for the future that's going to encourage them? And what did, you know, and Esther, you know, she was a slave, but she was obedient, and she became, you know, a princess. So God doesn't pick the obvious choices. He picks people he knows he can do his glory through. Now, what did these people all have in common? They were intimate to God. Intimate with God. They were obedient. And they came from humble beginnings. They saw the future. They saw that vision. They had that boldness. And they weren't afraid to be different. Now, we should really celebrate being different, because sometimes we can be a bit in the world copying other people and comparing ourselves to other people. Now, comparing is one of the worst things you can do, because you're not supposed to be somebody else. You can see somebody else's life and say, you know, because I'd like to be remarried, and I see people that married, and I think, I would like that for me, but I don't look at that person and think, I want what they've got, because you're not supposed to have what they've got. You've got what God is going to give you. And if you get caught up again in, look what that person has, he's not going to give you anything less, but he's got something separate. We're supposed to be individual people with different giftings. We're not supposed to be the same people. We're not clones. The enemy will just make a clone army of people that are comparing and dragging each other down. We are supposed to encourage each other, and we're one body. We are there for each other. Now, all of these people had terrible struggles and real adversity, but they had their happy endings. In Romans 5:4 talks about endurance produces character, and character hope. And I absolutely love that, because I remember daydreaming years ago. For years, you know, there was no fruit, but I was daydreaming of what I wanted to happen in my life. And I kind of expected God to then do it for me. I've had this dream. I want to do this. Make it happen. But that's not co-partnering, is it? That's not coming alongside him. That's just him doing it for you. And if a parent does everything for their child, how are they going to learn? How are they going to ever learn? I remember, you know, when I was mentally very, very unwell, I would never finish anything. And I felt I was lacking. How are these dreams going to ever happen when I'm too afraid to leave my house? How am I going to do any of these things? But I didn't stay in that place. I let God take me out of that place. And, you know, yeah, I stopped believing completely when I was so bad that I couldn't get out of bed. What other things that, you know, distraction in the world, you know, the enemies. This is what is beautiful. This is what is beautiful. This person, this model, that is what beauty is, which is all photoshopped. It's all nonsense. That person doesn't look like that in real life. Or if we all walked around with a personal stylist and hair person, we would all look like that. But actually, we're not supposed to be that comparing image or be about all what we look like. And, you know, in the world, it is about your status and what job you have. It's what you do rather than who you are. But God is about who we are as people. He cares about who we are, what we care about, how we love people. He's not interested in the external parts of us. And I felt a failure, and I felt discouraged. I lost so many jobs from being unwell, and I lost my confidence. But these are things that I was willing to put down and say, I am going to go forward though. Things can break you or make you stronger, they say, don't they? And that God won't give you anything that you can't handle. And in the middle of it, you think, no, I can't handle this. No, you can't handle it on your own, but you can handle it with Holy Spirit. The enemy's role, he can't create anything new. He can't create anything new. God has created everything. He can only try and destroy what we already have. So look how powerless he is in that way. He can't make a person. He can't make a tree. He can't make love. He just is like a little petulant child trying to take away everything. And he's kind of, I mean, a few months ago, God said to me, you know, when you feel panicky or anxious, actually that's the enemy projecting onto you his emotions. I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I always think it's me, because he's trying to put what he feels, because he knows that he's lost. So he's trying to just, you know, take as many people as he can. But he can't. If you are in God, he can't touch you. He might tell you that he can do that, but he can't. He cannot get in the way. And, you know, we have authority in the things that we've been through. And I was speaking about this yesterday. What a big mistake the enemy made to make me sick. Because, you know, I was for a long time, but now I have that authority over mental health, and I'm determined to eradicate it. And a lot of people say, well, you're not going to eradicate it. I don't care. That's where I'm going to go to. We've got to have endurance to go through these things and come out the other side. And it's okay if you're struggling, it's okay. And it's okay when we go through those difficult times, because we learn from that. And when we come past it, we look back and we realize why we went through that. And it can be something that you use as a positive thing, or you can stay stuck with that. And that's your choice. Because we are overcomers, because Jesus overcame the world. And, you know, I went from years of being in bed and doing little bits of maybe voluntary work to going back to school. You know, I did level three counselling, and then I interned at my church, and then I did 2 years at Eastgate School. And I started to really understand what I was here for. And if I'd understood that as a child, if I knew that I was prophetic, if I knew that I had a purpose, then I don't think the enemy would have had much hold on me. It's because I didn't realize who I was. And so we need the vision from God. People can give us prophecies over our lives to encourage us. The first vision that I ever had was preaching, but I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that looked like. And for years I was like, well, I want to be like Joyce Meyer. That's my version of it. Again, because I'm me, I can't be somebody else, and I want to be me. But it's good. It's good to look at other people that inspire us, and that's whether they're here now or people like in history. And you know, if I'd started preaching 15 years ago, it all would have fallen into a big mess because my character wasn't there. I was, you know, manic. I had manic times. I had depressive times. But my character, my behavior was unstable. My behavior was unhelpful. And I had to readdress all of those things. And I could have said, but this is just me. But it wasn't me. And I remember reading the Bible thinking, but joy and peace, being peace with people. And I'd be very argumentative and reading, actually, who does God want us to be? Opposed to who the enemy tries to make us to be. I was a convenient Christian for a few years, so I took the bits that I liked, but the bits that meant that I had to change, I was like, well, I'm not doing that. But eventually, as we know, we do things our way, and God says, go on, have a go, do things your way, and it never works out. But he's not like, I told you so, but he's kind of, are we going back on track now? When you go off the track and do your own thing, and then you come back and he says, off you go, we're back on track again. And he's forgotten then all of your mistakes. He does not interested in your mistakes. He's interested about being with you and loving you. And as I recovered, I discovered that this stream of preaching and teaching was actually, that could be real. That could be real. But I had to, you know, do that work for that first. I had to become the person God saw me as. And he was protecting me. So, you know, if he gives you a vision and you do it straight away, if you're not prepared, it's you're going to fall flat on your face. And I spent years listening to sermons, reading books, understanding the Bible, understanding what my faith meant. And I've spent the last 2 years just receiving love from God and being loved and understanding my royal identity, because I knew who I was. But when we went to school and we were taught about royal identity, like royal identity, wow, and heaven's perspective, and not waiting for heaven when we get there and then we're on earth, but we've got to wait for heaven, but bringing heaven to earth now. And I was like, wow, you know, that is amazing that God allows us to do that. And also, opportunities as well. God will give you the right opportunities, but sometimes that means moving away from where you've been and being grateful what you've been taught. But sometimes God says, it's time to move on to the next church, time to move on to the next stage. And, you know, I was my previous church, wonderful, wonderful people, but I heard one woman preach the whole time I was there, and I was there for 4 years. And so it's being in the right environment for you. And for me, church is about being, and fellowship is about being with people that believe in you, and they believe for you, and they trust for you, and they're praying for you, and they co-partner with you, and they come alongside you. So it's being in the right environment. And I wanted my school life, Eastgate, to match my church life, and it didn't. And now I'm in a church that isn't near to me, and people say, it's not near to you. And but it doesn't matter. You can't go to a church, but it's 10 minutes away just for the sake of it. You've got to go because it's where God has put you. But being in this new church has been incredible. You know, I'm still building up relationships, which takes time. But they are really so hungry for God. These people are chasing God, and they're not afraid. They're not afraid to say things and, you know, get them wrong. They're free, and they're thinking in a limitless way. And So, for the last 2 years, we learned prophecy and evangelism, and we studied the Bible. And that was, you know, more of a training ground for me. And we had a dream journal, which we did, which was my favourite subject. And I'd just spend the whole time there dreaming about Happy Heads, what it could be, what it could do. And we'd already started it by I started school, because that's been going for 3 years now. But yesterday was our first Christian Happy Heads. And when that vision comes to life, when the reality from what you've dreamt, it's nothing like that. It's incredible, because you're like, God, you have taken me so far. I'm just going to continue to go on. And you know what? We need to spend time with God. If we're going to understand what our purpose and callings are, and a lot of people don't know what their calling is, how much time are we actually spending with God? You know, interaction. I'm talking to him all day long. And that's progressed over the years, you know, when I would talk to him sometimes. And now he's in every part of what I do, which is what he wants. He wants to be with you. But it's about being in worship in your everyday life. Now, worship's not just about music and singing. Worship is about surrendering your heart to God. And just being, sometimes just being, not doing, not planning, not thinking, just being in the quiet is when you often hear God the loudest. Being accountable to people, the people are going to champion you on, and not say, I don't think this is possible for you, because that's not what God is saying. So you want to come alongside your tribe. We learn a lot about that. They talk about that in Bethel. Those people that are going to be part of your life for indefinitely, and they're going to be there when it's difficult, and they're going to be there and celebrate when it's great. And, I had five of the team yesterday. And those people have come alongside a vision, and they have co-partnered with me. And it's very, very humbling. And it's also exciting, because it's like, there's going to be more. Do you know what? We need to take action. You know, if you've got dreams and purposes, you need to take action. You need to go on and risk and take that next step. And you can test it out, and don't be afraid of mistakes. I think sometimes you get caught in mistakes and failure, and then you don't know where to go from there. Because something didn't work out, I'm just going to give up. You don't give up. You carry on going. You do your research. I remember reading The Purpose-Driven Life when I first became a Christian. I still think it's one of the best books, because it's so directive. It really helps you and guides you along the way. And we've got to have the right attitude. I'll give a quick example of, you know, I was in one of my churches. I sang for years, and I just harmonized when I wanted, and just did what I, you know, just with the Holy Spirit. And the next church I went to, it was the level was, there's a lot more training and conditioning, and it did feel a bit elitist, because often if someone's got a gift, you don't have to be an expert at it. But if they don't get a chance to do it, how are they going to go forward? And, you know, I went through, I was in the choir, but I couldn't get through to be in the band. And it was so painful that I couldn't even listen to people in worship, that I would leave the church because I was so in pain that I didn't get past this audition stage. And God said to me, right, if you've got the wrong attitude, Ruth, then you are out, you've got to come out of worship altogether. Unless you've got the right attitude, you can't be bitter and blame the other people. And so I came away from music for a while. And then being at school, I got the confidence to ask again to be part of a worship event that's very, you know, very free. And now, you know, I'm getting vocal lessons because I'm committing to something. I'm not just being arrogant and saying, this is how it should be done. God is saying, okay, you've got to do some work for it. But it is so worth it. And I'm just moving forward in that dream of being in that band again. Fear is something that can stop us. It's one of the worst things, the fear of the fear. But God is bigger. I said that before. God is bigger. And when I left school and started thinking about, it's all about happy heads now, I felt overwhelmed and panicked. And God said, when you take your eyes off of me, that is when you panic. If you keep me in your sight, if you keep me, if you remember me, remember what I am doing, that I am doing it, not you, then fear just goes away. And perfect love casts out fear. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you to go and find out what those dreams are. Go and find out what your calling is. And love who you're meant to be.